He's an undrafted free agent out of Illinois State, best fucking state around, as Connor O'Malley would say. Anyway.
You're listening to Let's Talk Fantasy Football, where men of fantasy genius have realized.
Hey guys, we don't need real football skills to dominate on the fantasy field.
So slap on your pads and grab your helmet. Shit's about to get real.
Welcome back, everybody, to another edition of Let's Talk Fantasy Football. I am your host tonight. My name is Nick Walsh, and I am here with the fearless leader, one of my good friends, who is about to go on vacation, in case you were wondering. He's very excited for that, and then has a very hectic next couple of weeks coming up. But my good friend, Nick Schreck. Schreck, how are you doing today?
I'm great, Walshy, and I want you and the people to know, despite vacation on the mind, I've not checked out. I'm excited to talk about the AFC South, and it's great to be here with you, buddy. Always good to see you smiling.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we got an exciting division. We have the AFC South to talk about. It's an interesting division because I think, unlike a lot of others, we're looking at a situation where there's three teams that you can make, and people are making arguments for this team should win the division. So most divisions, you've got kind of like a clear-cut favorite or maybe one or two teams at the top. The AFC South has a clear-cut favorite to finish in last, and that's about it. So it's going to be a lot of fun. We've got some interesting off-season moves to talk about. But I didn't put this in the outline, but since we haven't had a chance to talk about it on the podcast, do you want to cover the Cam signing and the Mahomes contract real quick?
Sure. I mean, Cam Newton signs with the New England Patriots, so obviously big implications there for everybody. I know a lot of people called it, thought that's where it was going to end up, but he's now in New England. Big shoes to fill there. Tom Brady going to Tampa Bay. But an obvious win, right, for the Patriots?
Yeah, I mean, 100%. I was skeptical at first, and then I watched like some of the footage of them running the option with Jacoby Brissett at quarterback a couple years ago, and was like, oh baby, like if Cam's healthy and they can do this with Cam, like that's getting me all horned up. And it's not like Cam's ever had good wide receivers, so like Julian Edelman's probably the best guy he's ever played with. So I don't know. I started off skeptical, and I'm getting myself gradually more and more excited about it, but we'll see how it goes.
The blood flow is it's heading down south, and you guys can't see it, but I'll tell you what, Walsh, I haven't seen a smile that big on Walsh's face in a long time. So
yeah, Cam's making me go from 6 to about 7:30, because that's about as much blood flow I get these days. That's an erectile dysfunction joke if you were keeping score at home.
He's giving a standing ovation while sitting down, guys. And I can say the same thing for me with Patrick Mahomes signing a monster extension with the Kansas City Chiefs. So it's 10 years on top of the 2 years he had on the contract. So for another 12 years, I think they're giving him about $100 billion. and quite frankly, he's worth every penny of it. Obviously, you hope he stays healthy. But if it's any indication of where he's been already and where he's going to go, super excited. Chiefs should be pumped. It's going to be interesting to see how the numbers play for some of these other guys. But I'm just looking ahead. Yeah, so right, Patrick Mahomes will make $31,250 every day he is alive on this earth, Walsh. That's more than a lot of people's yearly salaries. So good for him.
Yeah.
Good for him.
People are going to, you know, talk about how athletes don't deserve the money that they get. In terms of relative to what normal football players get, Patrick Mahomes deserves every cent of that. All things, knock on wood, but the guy is going to be the best quarterback in the league for the next decade, and the Chiefs have ensured that he will be doing it for them.
Hell yeah, baby.
As a Raiders fan, it is a little tough to see, but she's like, man, I can't wait for 10 years from now when our Super Bowl or our division window opens up a little bit. But you gotta
only 10 more years of suffering.
You got to hope for like the one Tom Brady injury year, and then like the Chiefs backup doesn't pull a Matt Castle or whatever. But we'll see.
You bite your fucking tongue.
Fair enough.
Talking about my Patty boy like that.
Yeah, no, that's, you know, you don't wish injury on anyone.
Of course not.
I certainly don't on Pat Mahomes. He's one of the most fun guys to watch in the entire NFL. So congratulations to him. Congratulations to you. Congratulations to Cam Newton on getting another shot. Hopefully Cam's healthy.
Yeah.
I'm sure as the season, as we get closer to the season, you know, since we already did the Patriots breakdown, but I'm sure we'll have plenty of Cam talk and plenty of Mahomes talk as we get closer. So
no doubt.
With that being said, we've got part one of the AFC South. So we are going to cover the Houston Texans and the Jacksonville Jaguars. So if you know teams and you can do math at home, that means part two, which will be coming to you later this week or early next week or whenever the hell these things get scheduled. I don't know. It's going to be the Colts and the Titans. So keep an eye out for both for that as well. But for right now, Shrek, let's jump right into the Houston Texans, who did win the division last year, despite having a negative point differential, barely negative, just by a touchdown and an extra point, I guess. But they won the division. And the offseason for the Texans was one, you know, I'm good friends with a Texans fan, and he is thinking about ways to assassinate Bill O'Brien. I won't name him on the podcast because I don't want to get him in trouble with the authorities. But you know, he would like Bill O'Brien dead because Bill O'Brien did some really dumb things, specifically trading away DeAndre Hopkins for, you know, David Johnson, more or less. There was slightly more involved in that trade. And then also the Brandon Cooks trade, which, you know, if it works out, great. But generally, trading for a receiver with a significant concussion history on a gigantic contract is not the smartest thing in the world. So, you know, all that being said, I think there's some fantasy relevance to be had here. And we'll start at the quarterback position with our man Deshaun Watson, drafted ahead of Mahomes in that draft by a couple spots there. So. Maybe he'll get, you know, he's probably licking his lips looking at that contract as well. But Deshaun Watson this year, currently going quarterback 6, 7th pick in the 6th round. You know, he was quarterback 2 last year in points per game. So what do you think about this drop in ADP?
I think it's a value, right? For fantasy owners, I understand, you know, we lost a not talented wide receiver, and we got a super talented one and healthy one in Brandon Cooks. But I think what's going to happen, and obvious sarcasm for those of you who do not pick up on it, obviously a big shift here for the offense, and Walsh hit on it. But, you know, typically, you know, negative game scripts seem to work in the fantasy favor of Deshaun Watson. He plays a point-scoring urgency when his team's behind. We've seen his career yards per attempt spike when they're trailing. And his yards per carry leap from 4.4 to 6.3, things I like because the total projected win total for the Texans right now is 7.5, which I think is generous as shit. So I expect them to be behind. I expect them to have to throw the ball for Deshaun Watson to have to make plays. And for a guy that's now at QB6 and finished QB2, I'm happy with the price, despite what his receiving options look like.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the way that quarterbacks are coming off the board this year, right? So you've got a clear tier one, which is Lamar Jackson and Pat Mahomes. And you can put that in whatever order that you want to. But I think those guys are clearly the first tier of quarterbacks. And so your next tier, and again, I think you can put these guys in pretty much any order that you want to at this point. But the way that it's currently going on Fantasy Football Calculator is Kyler, Dak, Russell Wilson, and Deshaun Watson. You know, Watson's the last of that tier. Generally, when a guy is going last of a certain tier, he is a value. And like I said, I think those guys are interchangeable. I think you can have Deshaun as high as 3, and I don't think that's wrong. I think you can have him as low as 6, and I don't think that's wrong. But yeah, there's a lot of value there for, you know, the reasons that you stated, as well as just the way that quarterbacks are coming off the board. You know, you alluded to it, but he did lose his number one pass catcher and a guy who's really taking care of, you know, a lot of volume for him over the past couple of years. So now we're looking at a pass catching core and a wide receiver core, I guess, of Brandon Cooks, the aforementioned Brandon Cooks, currently going wide receiver 30, 12th pick in the sixth round. We're looking at Will Fuller, currently going as wide receiver 37, ninth pick in the eighth round. We're looking at Randall Cobb in the slot, newly signed, coming over for from Dallas. They paid him a lot of money for a guy who is clearly just a slot receiver and, you know, kind of just an okay one, it seems like, at that. But he's there. Yeah. And then we're looking at Kenny Stills there, who, you know, I don't think we'll see the field much unless one of those other guys gets hurt. Couple of guys behind him, Kiki Cutie, who seems to have fallen out of favor, and then the rookie Isaiah Coulter. But so in terms of those draft positions, do you think either of them are really worth it? And then would you want to be drafting Cobb in any situation?
I have zero interest in Cobb, and I'll start there because I think it's the easiest one, right? I think, well, super low ceiling, super low floor. You know, he has injury history, all that kind of stuff. I have no interest there. I think if I'm interested in anybody, it's Will Fuller. And I actually think he's going later. He would be the guy that I want. I'm totally cool with wide receiver 37, ninth pick in the eighth round. Obviously, you lose DeAndre Hopkins, right? He goes into a contract year, which take what you want from that. You know, some people believe it, some don't, whatever. It's kind of the opportunity of a lifetime, really. They're trying to replace about 150 targets with Hopkins gone. Fuller, we know, has the injury history, right? So let's you know, acknowledge that. He's missed 22 games in, what was it, the four NFL seasons. But with DeAndre Hopkins last year, he was 82 for about 1,200 yards, seven TDs over the last 16 games when Fuller drew more than two targets. So we've seen production if he can stay healthy, which is a big if. He's my guy. I'd rather take him than Brandon Cooks. Particularly two rounds later.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of choosing in a coin flip situation like this, you generally want to choose the cheaper guy, right? You know, correct. Fuller's going a couple rounds later. Therefore, he's probably the better value when I think the upsides and floors for both guys are just extremely similar. It's interesting, too, because they're both deep threats. You know, but they're also both guys who can get it done sort of like in the short game and that sort of thing. I honestly think I'm fine with both of them. There's a large amount of risk involved with both, but you know, we're looking at Cooks in at the end of the sixth round. Like if Cooks is in the seventh round and you're talking about a guy who has the potential to be Watson's number one pass catcher, maybe eat up like 130 targets or whatever, like, yeah, 100%. And I think same thing with Fuller. I think there's value in both of them. We've seen Watson attack the slot before in some cases, but also like it's really just been when Kiki Cutie had those couple games of like blowing up a couple of years ago. I can't really remember him actively attacking the slot in other situations. So I'm fine with both of them at their prices. I think they're both guys that are good to go after. You just need to know that there is obvious risk involved with both of them. It is what it is there. In terms of the tight ends, we've got sort of a cadre of guys, Darren Fells, Jordan Thomas, Jordan Akins, and then Kahale Waring was a third-round pick last year. I doubt he gets on the field at all this year. You know, Fells has been the guy who's kind of done it. Particularly this past year, he had a decent amount of productive years, but he's also an older guy and that was his only really time being productive. So I don't know. None of these guys are getting drafted. Do you have an opinion on any of them?
Nah, spin the wheel. Again, if you had, for whatever reason, had to end up one, it is Darren Fells, but you spin the wheel for other guys.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to predict. And you know, maybe that changes. Maybe we get a couple of games into the season and Darren Fells is looking at like six targets per game, and in which case you pick him up. You know, it's pretty easy.
He hits Walter's threshold. That's your threshold.
Everyone's going to know it by the time the season starts. I mean, and they should have known it already if they were previous listeners. It's six targets per game and you're a fucking starting fantasy tight end. It's real simple math. anyway. Let's talk about the backfield, the prized possession of the DeAndre Hopkins trade. We've got David Johnson coming over, who has not been good in a couple of years. Yeah. And by a couple, I mean, what was it, 2016 when he had that 2,000-yard season? Pretty much since then.
It feels like forever ago.
Yeah, because he was hurt all of 2017. He had the okay season behind the shitty offensive coordinator situation in 2018. And then last year, Kingsbury comes in and he has a decent first couple games outside of the game against Baltimore and then gets hurt. And after he gets hurt, he doesn't really reclaim that starting job. So it's literally been since 2016 that this guy's been productive. And now he's RB17. Fifth pick in the third round feels a little high to me. What's your call there?
Yeah. I mean, David Johnson, David Johnson to me is, he's a flex guy for me. He's down to a running back three at best, I think. Just the injury history, I don't know. I mean, it's tough, right? Cause you could sell it any way you want as statistics typically play, right? We know that he drove the NFL's fourth softest run schedule. So that helps. His passing production is going to suck. It's just is what it is. He didn't look great in the second half of last season. I saw some place they used the term stiff as a board, which sucks to hear. And he finished dead last in PFF's elusive rating. So I think it's a high risk volume pick, and it's a gamble I'm not going to take personally.
Yeah, I mean, the Texans' obsession with trading for pass-catching running backs has just been bizarre to me because, you know, with David Johnson and then Duke Johnson as well, these are both guys who excel in getting out in the open field, catching passes. And the Texans last year had the fifth lowest percentage of targets thrown to running backs. And in 2018, it was the lowest in the NFL. So we're not looking at like an aberration year based on talent or anything.
No.
This is a team that with Bill O'Brien and Deshaun Watson at the helm have not thrown the ball to running backs. So, you know, I don't see really how we're going to get to that RB17 spot with David Johnson, unless it's like you said, they're pounding him 20 carries a game, which is like what the Cardinals did in 2018. And yeah, he ended up like a low end RB1, but man, it was ugly getting there, you know? So
it hurt. It hurt you every week.
Yeah. I was heavy on him that year and it was not fun to own. So yeah, not a guy that I'm actively targeting, you know, particularly mid third round, and this is going to be a trend, but you're going to see a lot of these running back is going so wildly high this year that you're going to see a lot of wide receivers that feel like better values coming off the board at the same time. Within that range at wide receiver, you're seeing guys like Mike Evans, Adam Thielen, and Allen Robinson. And it's like, you're going to tell me I'm going to draft David Johnson ahead of them. But anyway,
You're right. I don't want to cut you off, but you know, as you're saying, as I'm looking at the rest of the draft board around him, right? I mean, just looking at running backs, you're talking about Clyde Edwards, Todd Gurley, Leonard Fournette, James Conner. We talked about Melvin Gordon. I love Melvin Gordon over David Johnson. Like, it's just and that third round, it's just a fucking disaster. Like you said, like get your running backs early and let everybody else fend for it, I think, in that third round if they have to. That's probably how I'm going to try and go.
Yeah, that feels like a war zone of a round to me. You know, and I've talked already about getting one guy early and then throwing a bunch of darts mid to late rounds. And, you know, I haven't exactly changed my tune yet on that strategy. So David Johnson will not be a guy that ends up on a lot of my teams this year. A guy who might, as a mid to late round dart throw, is Duke Johnson. Because he's going running back 53, the last pick in the 11th round. And, you know, he provides a very similar skill set to David Johnson. But Duke Johnson is a guy who has been one of the most efficient running backs in the NFL for his entire career. And he provides a catch floor, if nothing else. I know we said they don't throw it to the running back very much. But I believe he had around 60 targets last year. And he's one David Johnson injury, which is something that has happened pretty often over the past couple of years away from being a starting running back in the NFL. So a guy who is a very interesting dart throw to me.
Yeah, I have no problem with the call, Walsh. I mean, again, Johnson leads all running backs in yards per touch since entering the league with 6.5. And he's receiving per game touch averages of 7.9, 5.4, 9.8, and 7.9 over the last 4 years. the all-around talent and the injury risk to David Johnson makes him a no-brainer, particularly at that price. Even if he comes up a little bit, he's still a no-brainer, I think, there.
Yeah, hey, you said it perfectly. You know, he's a talented guy who has gotten pegged into this certain role by Hugh Jackson and Bill O'Brien, who are two of the dumbest NFL head coaches of like the past decade and a half. So if David Johnson gets hurt, watch out, because Duke Johnson's an RB1 is
crazy.
Is sort of my look at it. But anyway, do we have anything else on the Texans?
That's it for me.
All right, we'll take a quick break and then move on to the Jacksonville Jaguars.
You're listening to Let's Talk Fantasy Football, home of the brutally honest fantasy advice you've always needed.
Okay, guys, we are back and we are ready to jump into the Jacksonville Jaguars. A quick note before we get into the players, they do have a new offensive coordinator, John DeFilippo, the former offensive coordinator, and the Jags mutually parted ways after the season. So we have none other than Jay Gruden, former Washington head coach, coming in here and, you know, making an appearance as the offensive coordinator. That is going to matter as we talk about one player on the team pretty significantly. I see you nodding, and I think you know who I'm talking about later on. But we'll let you guys guess until we get there. The Jaguars last year were pretty
Tyler
bad.
Eifert.
It's definitely Tyler Eifert. You're correct.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That made me laugh. The Jaguars last year were like, they kind of went off the rails. You know, Nick Foles got hurt early on, but then we got the advent of Minshew mania with Gardner Minshew coming on and playing better than you would expect any sixth round rookie. I said sixth round rookie. Darth Maul is the newest. The newest rookie.
We'd have also gone off the rails. Jesus.
Anyway, Gardner Minshew came on and did really better than you would expect any sixth round rookie to do. Just ask Mason Rudolph. So he, you know, he's a guy who's going to get another shot at it this year, and we'll see. Maybe it's a tank job for him. You know, their Vegas over under is 4.5 wins. So we're not exactly expecting them to be good this year. But Minshew's got the job, and his backup is Mike Glennon, who is absolutely not going to play. So what do you think about Minshew as a fantasy prospect at his current position of being undrafted?
I mean, look, Walsh, anybody undrafted, falls into the quote-unquote look at streaming category, and for me it'll be a matchup play at best, right? After week three last season, he only completed more than 60% of his passes in three of his next 11 games, fumbled the ball 13 times, he lost it 7 times, which is second among QBs. I like some fantasy opportunity in this offense, but it's not that I expect Gardner Minshew to blow up. I think he'll be serviceable, but fantasy-wise, I'm just – He can stay on the wire for me.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm more than willing to stream him. You know, the week one matchup against the Colts, I don't think is like bad enough to really give you like the you need to play him kind of thing.
Yeah.
But like, will I maybe throw a Minshew DJ Chark stack into like a tournament lineup on DraftKings? Yeah, probably.
You bet your ass.
Yeah. I mean, the dude wasn't bad last year. He was 18th in points, fantasy points per game among quarterbacks that had 8 or more starts. He was 13th in the league in adjusted yards per attempt, 16th in passer rating, 26th in QBR, so not too great in that one. But, you know, none of those stats are perfect. They're all kind of just a ballpark for what we're looking at. And to me, Gardner Minshew was like an average quarterback more or less last year when he was starting. Another thing that he adds to the mix is that he had 344 rushing yards last year and no rushing touchdowns. With that many rushing yards, you would expect to maybe regress to 2 to 4 touchdowns or something like that this year. So you've got those added bonuses. You know, you can count on about 2 points per game, if not more, in rushing fantasy points. So that can be the difference between, you know, a win or a loss. I'm with you. I'm not necessarily going to draft him, but I think he's going to be usable in weeks, basically. So let's talk about his pass catchers, and we'll start with DJ Shark, who I mentioned before. I'm going to take my victory lap because I called him as the guy that you should be drafting in the last round of like every one of your drafts last year. And it turns out he was wide receiver 17. So you got him. If you listen to me, you got him in the last round and he was wide receiver 17. I obviously owned a ton of DJ Shark last year. It worked out very well, you know, more so early in the season than late in the season, but you know, guy's a stud. He's currently going off the board wide receiver 21, fourth pick in the fifth round. Do you have any dissent to that?
I have no dissent. I actually think if it's possible to say maybe there's some recency bias of him letting people down a little bit down the stretch, where I think he's better than wide receiver. What was it, 21 we just said?
Yeah.
Wide receiver 20. Was it 21? Yeah, I was here at 21. You know, average 8.2 targets per game. He's legit. Team high, 118 targets. Him and Minshew clearly have a connection. He's the number one wide receiver in that offense. I actually think there's some bias to keeping his price down a little bit. And I still love DJ Shark.
I love to hear it. I love to hear it. He's absolutely a guy that I'm going to be targeting again this year. So the rest of the wide receiver core, and we can kind of just all talk about all of them at one time, I think.
Sure.
Chris Conley, you know, who had some weeks. I played him a little bit more than I should have in daily fantasy, as I tend to do when guys get a lot of deep threats or deep targets, but don't really convert on them. You got D.D. Westbrook, who played in the slot last year. And then I think the interesting one is Laviska Shenault, who's the second round pick. People have compared him to Cordarrell Patterson as sort of a guy who you just want the ball in his hands. And he came out of Colorado, go Buffs. But Shenault is interesting because, you know, when you hear the Cordarrell Patterson comp, that doesn't sound good based on Cordarrell Patterson's career. Yeah. But I also think that if Cordarrell Patterson had come into the league in 2020, people would have known what the fuck to do with him. You know, when he came in, it was sort of like a weird thing where not everyone understood the player that he is. The NFL now is much more open to guys who aren't necessarily prototypical wide receivers, prototypical running backs, and making them playmakers in NFL offenses. And I think Shenault's interesting in that way. Now, I think he's more interesting from a real-life perspective than a fantasy perspective in his rookie season. But I think what that does is maybe take Conley and Westbrook's fantasy potential, if there was any, and just lower it a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I have nothing to add there, Walsh. I mean, quite frankly, it's DJ Shark is the only one I have any real fantasy interest in here for 2020.
Okay, fair enough. Let's move to the tight end position where they brought in Tyler Eifert. Do you have any interest in the undrafted Tyler Eifert?
Just want to say good to see him back. Get a nice little contract, healthy, on the football field. But beyond that, no, I have no interest in Tyler Eifert.
Okay. He's a guy that I could see maybe like picking up for random weeks during the season. You know, maybe giving that a shot, but you know, we'll see how it sort of goes. I'm definitely more interested in the running back position, in terms of this offense, and we'll talk
about.
Sorry. I think my connection's not great. Can you hear me? Okay.
Yeah, you're bouncing in and out on me here. Hold on.
I just closed everything and turned my camera off to try and see if it helped.
Okay. Yeah, I'm closing out whatever I have up or running. We were cruising and then you hit Tyler Eifert and I know I said I'm not interested and then I kind of lost you at that point.
Should we like start right over from that point?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to go back to, I guess, the tight end Tyler Eifert piece, that's fine.
Okay, well, I guess we'll see how it gets edited in or whatever, but...
Yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah. At the tight end position, we have Tyler Eifert coming in here. Do you have any interest in him from a fantasy perspective?
From a fantasy perspective, no, especially coming into drafts here. Happy to see him back healthy, getting a nice contract, getting paid and whatnot. Maybe he fits the fantasy wheel down the line, but that's probably it for me.
Yeah, that's fair. I think definitely a guy who could be on the wheel. We're not going to get much of camp in preseason, but like if he's healthy, like, I don't know, maybe a late round target. I'm talking myself into this and I'm stupid, but anyway, let's get off Tyler Eifert before I start to say something dumb and move to the running back position where we've got Leonard Fournette, currently running back 16, third pick in the third round. I don't know. What do you think about Fournette there?
It fits our narrative of third round is a fucking shit show of running backs, Walsh. I mean, it's they supposedly were looking to trade him during the NFL draft. Obviously did not. They had the whole contract thing going on. And it is frustrating, right? Because you look at some of the numbers here and it's like, well, you know, in the passing game, he had the fourth most targets by running backs, 100. He turned into the fifth most catches with 76. He had career highs in rushing, yards per attempt, receptions, receiving yards. So statistically, great. But there's just something about Fournette that always gives me a pause.
Yeah, I mean, he was RB9 last year in points per game, but I mean, that was 100% because of his volume. He had those 265 carries and then the 76 catches. I mean, yeah. I'll just get into it right now. Chris Thompson is here. Chris Thompson is a guy on the roster, and Jay Gruden is the offensive coordinator. Jay Gruden brought Chris Thompson in to get 80 of those 100 targets that they gave to Leonard Fournette last year. Like, that's his sole purpose on this roster. So Fournette was really propped up in PPR, I think, by his 100 targets. I mean, he only got 3 touchdowns on the whole year, which, again, yeah, you'd expect that to regress in a positive direction. But
sure. But the other numbers are going to go the other way.
Exactly. The volume is going to go down, particularly the pass catching volume. And when a team tries to trade a guy, like, you know that that's the case. Chris Thompson, over the last 3 seasons, he averaged 55 targets a season while only playing in 10 games a season. And now he's reunited with Jay Gruden, who is the guy who he's had the most success with. And, you know, if you remember a couple of years back, Chris Thompson was like an absolute fucking stud. So the fact that he's not getting drafted and Reichwell Armstead, who is behind him on the depth chart, is getting drafted, RB61, is completely insane to me. I'm avoiding Fournette, I'm avoiding Reichwell Armstead, and I'm drafting Chris Thompson, who's currently going undrafted.
Yeah, I mean, the undrafted price is absolutely fucking criminal. I do have here, Walsh, and I missed it before, Fournette with that 76 receptions last year had 22 in 2018. So, like you said, he was obviously 100% propped up by those receptions last year, which Chris Thompson is now here to bring him back down to pretty much fucking zero.
Yeah, and he was also like one of the least efficient running backs in terms of fantasy points per target and that sort of thing. Like, the guy did jack shit with his receptions. He didn't show any sort of reason for them to give him that much in the future. So it seems like a one-year volume thing, and we'll see how it goes.
People are going to fucking, based on stats, just fucking buy. You know, because if you do look at just last year's numbers, you're like, holy shit, that was a good year.
Yeah, it was, but again, it was only based on the volume, and I don't think that volume is going to be there. The other guy in the running back core that I put down here was James Robinson, and I only got I only put him down here because he's an undrafted free agent out of Illinois State, best fucking state around, as Connor O'Malley would say. Anyway, that's all I got for the Jaguars. do you have anything else for them?
That's the opener. That's the opener, Walsh.
We got the pipe. We got the mud. Best fucking state.
And that may be a follow-up opener.
Yeah. Anyway.
You're on fire. I have nothing on the Jags now. I think we nailed it. You know, we talked about the impact here of offensive coordinator changing. And that's it, baby. Let's play fantasy football.
Yeah, I mean, as you said, it's going to be interesting for both these teams. We'll be back with the Colts and the Titans for part two of the AFC South. So make sure to keep an eye out for that. If you haven't listened to any of the division breakdowns that we've done four of them, I want to say. I want to say this is our fifth.
Yeah.
So, you know, make sure you go back, listen to those. The Patriots one won't exactly be accurate now that Cam is on the team, but, you know, you can deal with that. So again, keep an eye out there, and we're going to keep on moving forward, providing you with these division breakdowns. So for Shrek, I am Walsh. Later, podcast.
This has been Let's Talk Fantasy Football. Thanks for listening.